and how, when we get sick or when something happens to us, and how we get dealt with or treated, and what role we have or have not in that becomes very personal to us, and it's not always the same. So trying to provide a personalised service is certainly a way that should just become not necessarily due to a condition or to a dependency or whatever. It should be far greater than that. So they were just some of my reflections. Just a few kind of then specific things that might be no harm to cover. So home care and home care packages and home health services cannot be means tested, regardless of how you provide it. And it's because it's not, there's no legal basis to it. So we are left with providing home care to a huge population of people at various levels, but we actually do not have a legislative basis for being able to provide that in a measured way. It is very much dependent on the resource that's available to us and the assessment that we do of the person's requirements. And don't blame me for that, because I can't change the legislation or bring legislation about, but there it is. But it's just a matter of fact, I just wanted to note. And the second thing I think is, and we could be here for the day and the night talking about some of this, but the fair deal of the nursing home support scheme, and can you take money out of it and can you put it into home care? And it's a very good question. I think the question is a bit broader than that. Actually, it is, shouldn't our focus be more on keeping people at home and providing resource and services towards that end, as apart from necessarily providing services for residential care? And from my perspective, and I have a function and a role in that, obviously, as head of operations and older persons, is I kind of turn it a little bit and say, actually, as we are approaching the foothills of the Himalayas in terms of the level of and numbers of older people that we will have, and the numbers of people that will have dementia, we actually need investment in all of those areas. So it isn't going to be a question of, in one sense, can we take it from one thing and give it to other? In actual fact, we need to have all of those schemes and areas of funding to be made available at a higher level if we are to actually deal with the service that we want to try to provide to support people. Because there will be a time when people will need residential care. Maybe we can move it out further and we can keep more people at home, well, safer, for longer, and support them to do so. But inevitably, we will need residential care. And last year, when the whole Fair Deal and residential care was people waiting for funding for 16 and 17 weeks and 1,800 people waiting on it, you know, a lot of those 1,800 people, they were well spun out in terms of the ability to remain at home. Not all, but a lot were. And when that funding wasn't available, I'll tell you should talk to those families, and they're waiting to see could they get support. The other interesting thing about, and I'm kind of veering away from my own discussion, but it's still important to say so, I suppose, is that when the likes of, you know, for those of you who were in this system for a long time, you'll remember what it was not to have the Fair Deal and the huge inequity and the huge problems there was about actually accessing long-stay care when it was necessary then. And people kind of forget that. So so in defence of the Fair Deal and the Nursing Home Support Scheme and residential care, there will be a requirement. There is a need for a requirement. There's a need for proper supports around it. And whether you think it's a fair deal or not, I think there's more. The point is we need a fair deal for home care and the other options to keep people at home. And I think we'd all agree with that. So they were just some of the points. Can I operate this? So I suppose in general, there are kind of three kind of topic areas that I just wanted to talk about. The first one is about the dementia strategy as it stands at the moment and our implementation of it from a HSE perspective. The second one is about a model of care for older people, and the third one is about integrated care program. And Siobhan could wax lyrical probably about the integrated care program, and I'm not using it as a differentiation. I'm trying to highlight very specific key parts to it. So very briefly, and for many of you, you will know and would have read or understand the kind of key principles that are around the dementia strategy. And everything that we spoke about here around the Genio-supported projects that we've had, they fit into or align themselves to one of these particular pieces. And as we proceed with the implementation of key aspects of the dementia strategy, whether it is an awareness campaign that my colleagues in health and wellbeing are leading out on and will have with us over the coming period, or whether it is the you know, the GP piece around timely diagnosis and key information that Tony Foley is leading out on, or whether it is the whole aspect, and it was mentioned earlier on, of the intensive home care packages, and which we are rolling out from the HSE perspective with some supports around KPIs, etc., from Genio. These are all key funded pieces of elements between the HSE, Atlantic Philanthropies, and the Department of Health that we're trying to move along. And they, and it's important, I think, that we shouldn't see that in isolation from any and all of the projects we spoke of this morning. I think the piece for us is to try to ensure that we string all those pieces together so that the dementia strategy isn't just a set of individualised actions, some of them very good, some of them very strong, that we're actually putting our service provision for people with dementia together in a better way, so that the sum of it all adds up to something far more potent than the individual pieces. I just want to touch on I'm calling it model care for older, because that's my remit. But read what you want, and it's kind of come back to what I said a little bit earlier. Aren't these the fundamentals of any service provision? And whether you have a dementia or not, you know, a responsive piece. And we just heard it this morning in so many different ways. You know, people that spoke who were actually recipients of the service, or their loved one was a recipient of the service, you know, some frustrations around all that. We weren't as responsive, maybe, as what we should be. The service was too prescriptive, you know. I spoke to a private provider of home care services very recently, and what was interesting was, and I suppose it's, I don't know why I was surprised at it really, but, you know, call me institutionalised or whatever, but the vast majority of their business was not something that the HSE funded. It was provided by it was funded by people and families buying home care for themselves. And the second piece about it was that the home care that families and people buy for themselves were never at the times and the hours that the HSE that would fund home care would actually provide the service at, which was an interesting concept. But it makes sense, doesn't it? Because, you know, people come looking for home care from us, and our clinical view is we need to, and quite rightly in many instances, we want to provide services at certain times. But is that what the person required? Did we ask them? You know, were we inclusive of the carer or the family in terms of that? Did we kind of appreciate they needed to get a break, they needed to do their shopping, or, you know, their family members coming and they're wanting to be with them or avoid them or whatever might be the case? Probably not, you know. So I think that each and every aspect of the model of older persons care that we are trying to look at, we are looking in each of those respective ways at ways that we can actually try to, A, you know, deliver a better service in general and a much more responsive one. And so we are reviewing our provision of home care and how people access it and people's understanding and clarity around it. And I hop back a little bit to the Fair Deal. If you apply for the Fair Deal, or somebody has to apply for the Fair Deal, it actually isn't the most, it's a pretty easy enough scheme now to understand it. And there's an application process, and there's, you know, certain application, and you will understand that after a few weeks you'll get an answer and a response, and you'll be maybe waiting for a few weeks for funding, you'll get it, and there it is. When you apply for home care, it's a confused thing, you know, you might get there a few hours, you might not, it might be reviewed, it might not, you might get two different stories. There's a lack of clarity. And if you're a carer and you're at home and you're minding somebody, you need something more than that, in order that the contract of care that is in your mind is secured to look after your mother or father, whoever you're looking after. And so we have to look at each of the individual pieces of it. And I think we spoke earlier around, I think Fiona talked about a menu and options that are there. And isn't that really the context of whether it is the HSE providing something or in conjunction with other providers locally, and whether it's a voluntary piece or just the neighbours around, that type of menu of options and choices around the care that we provide or support people are is available. It's not always everybody wants to go to a day centre. Some people say that's the most boring thing in the world, just let me home, I'm very happy. Then other people will say, I want to be in the day centre 4 days a week. It's a personalised thing, you know. Some people will take home care. Some people will say, it's the last thing I actually want. Keep those people out of my house. They'll take my cutlery, whatever, you know. And I think we have to be, you know, we have to be open to that. You know, that we find that hard to fit into our service provision. It's not part of our way of thinking. And it challenges us, and we're busy, and we have a lot to do. And it challenges managers and administrators like me in terms of saying that doesn't fit neatly into something that I can explain to a minister how it has happened. People have choice themselves. They may or may not take the service. And that's a whole different conversation. And I suppose the other piece about, and we spoke a little bit earlier about having a trained staff and having trained people and people with an understanding. And again, we've talked, you know, part of the work around the Mincy is about that education piece and that training piece and that awareness and understanding. And whether that's at a very deep level in terms of some of the clinical piece or whether it is just an awareness piece, that's going to be crucial as we move forward. I suppose the third piece then, or the other piece, and it just follows on, it's not a separate piece from older person's service provision. It is really an integrated care programme for older people, and I suppose it's the how we you know, when people are at a high level of dependency and when those needs are there, that we want to still maintain people at home, but they are at risk of various different things happening to them, or at risk of ending up being frequently coming into EDs unplanned, or going into the hospital system and we're not trying to be able to get people through the system. And out the other side, we unquestionably are at risk then of losing people to their ability to stay at home. And I think the piece that we're trying to capture and try to work on at this point in time, which the clinical programme side of the house, is to be able to see how are we going to, first of all, recognise that grouping of older people in the community. How are we going to plan our services around them, and how are we going to ensure that we can provide a proper and smooth pathway, whether it is external to the hospital setting or between hospital and community settings, and how do we keep people at home for as much as possible. And that piece of work has really just started to commence, and there's no brain surgery involved in it. It's what we've spoken about this morning and all those linkages and key pieces in conjunction with a very specific clinical piece and the role of clinicians in it, whether it's GPs, our primary care team staff, or whether it is a geriatrician teams, our psych of old age teams. It's the marriage of all that and how we work our processes so that there aren't gaps there and that it is understandable and clear to the older people themselves or to their carers and their families. And that's a very big challenge for us. Are there resource issues around it? Of course there are. Are there, process issues around it? There, absolutely. And will there be resistance from it from ourselves to try to actually provide it? Of course there will be. There's no getting away from it. But I think that is the challenge that faces us as we move forward. And it interlinks with each and everything that people have spoken about here today very clearly. And at the same time, you know, it is recognising that this issue is not going to go away from us. We are going to have a constant demand and heavier demand as we move forward. So they are the kind of the key pieces, I suppose, that are there. From our perspective and from my desk, the important pieces that I can do in it all are two, to try to influence the policy, really, of the Department of Health, and we had Department of Health people with us all the time, I think, so that the understanding from, you know, the services and people on the ground is understood, and to translate that into our requirements, our own policy, or our requirements around resource and policy. And we have come through some very difficult years now since 2008. There's no getting away from it. It's been a reducing resource. And it was just heartening and challenging still that we're all here today still, and we're up for it. And, you know, there's lots of colleagues and people out there who are saying, no, we can find a better way of providing our services. It is also important when you talk to me that I'm the money man. The money is actually out there. All the time. You know, we often play for money because it's a big thing, but actually we have a lot of resource and we have a lot of we have a depth, I think, of knowledge and information and power behind us, only to kind of make sure that's as organised as we possibly can. And so, yes, we are, you know, there are issues facing the money men, but there are issues facing ourselves in the way that we actually spend and use our own money as well as we possibly can. The last piece I just wanted to say is about, and it's kind of, I suppose, the challenge as well that comes from all the variety of projects we have seen. And I think in general, you know, you'd have to say, well, it's a very powerful piece that we've heard all morning. And, you know, Jeannie and ourselves have had discussions about, well, what does that mean? How do we go forward with it? There's a learning in each and every one, and there are common themes that we have to see how we implement. And then there is the scalability, and people talked about the scalability there earlier on. But, you know, the challenge for us is to take this through the country and to be able to, you know, I think Deirdre spoke about West Cork, and she talked about Kinsale, and Kinsale is a small part of West Cork, and that's West Cork. And then you go to a large urban area, and the same, there's a different but kind of the same set of challenges abound out of that. And I have to say, I still grapple with some of this, and I think we just have to work together very carefully, and we will work with Genio and with the learnings that are out of these projects to see, can we fashion a way about how best to see, you know, what changes we require in some of the ways that we provide our resources to actually mirror some of the better pieces that we have seen today. And I think we have to be honest and open and sometimes discard some, because in my world, if you say, well, I need money for something, people will often say to you, and what are you going to stop doing if you feel that's your priority? And there will be some priorities that we will have to face in terms of that challenge. Because though we are looking up, we will not have the resource that we will require at all times to meet everything. We will still have to juggle our resource, our service, and ensure we still try to provide it in the way that we have talked about all day. So that's my piece. Thank you very much.